finally this hour, the proliferation of Hollywood remakes. This year, there have been more than a dozen, Conan the Barbarian and Arthur over the summer, opening today new versions of Footloose and The Thing, and soon we'll see Hollywood's take on the Swedish hit The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. So, with all these remakes, is there a failure of imagination in Hollywood? Well, our movie critic Bob Mondello says, let's reserve judgment. What you want,
honey, you got it. Otis Redding wrote and recorded a tune in 1965 that he made sound pretty good. All I'm asking for was your respect when I come home. A couple of years later, Aretha Franklin remade it in her own image. R-E-S-P-E-C-T, find out what it means to me. Anyone want to claim Otis Redding? The composer, let's note, did the definitive version? Was Aretha's remake a bad idea? Okay, I know, music is an interpretive art, but there are parallels in other disciplines too. How different is it when Picasso models cubist images on a 300-year-old painting by Velázquez? And does the fact that Laurence Olivier was a legendary Hamlet in the 1940s...
To be or not to be?
Mean that Richard Burton can't be one in the 1960s?
That is the question. Whether it is nobler in the mind to suffer the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune.
And Daniel Day-Lewis in the 80s, followed by Kevin Kline, Jude Law. Dame Judith Anderson even did a one-woman Hamlet, playing all the parts. If you're a theater critic, watching different takes on familiar roles is part of what makes the job interesting. Film is one of the few mediums where remakes, redos, and reinterpretations are regarded skeptically. Rap artists sample soul standards and no one bats an eye. Everybody loved it when John Steinbeck based parts of his novel East of Eden on the Book of Genesis. But say you're going to remake Footloose, and even if the original wasn't all that good, fans stomp their feet and say, leave it alone.
This is our time.
Film is a young medium, which may be why movie remakes strike people negatively. Shakespeare-based King Lear on an ancient folktale, but movies don't go back very far, barely 100 years. And in a lot of cases, the old versions are still around to be seen. Since 1903, Hollywood has made 29 Three Musketeers movies, an average of one every 4 years. What's left to do? Well, the teen-oriented one that opens next week will be the first to thrust its D'Artagnan at us in 3D.
It's Three Musketeers. I came to Paris to be one of you.
Now, I thought Richard Lester's version was great fun in 1973.
You and the Queen need the services of a gentleman who is gallant, courageous, discreet, active.
But I remember my elders saying then that Michael York's D'Artagnan wasn't buckling his swash nearly as thrillingly as Gene Kelly had in 1948.
Gentlemen, your quarrels are with me, not with each other.
And I imagine their elders poo-pooed Kelly in favor of Douglas Fairbanks in the 1921 Silent Musketeers. Okay, that doesn't really work on radio. Even so, young Logan Lerman in the 3D Musketeers has a lot to live up to, kind of like a composer who decides to reupholster a piece by a famous someone else. Ravel, for instance, got a commission in 1922 to revamp a little suite for solo piano that had never really caught on with the public when Mussorgsky wrote it in 1874. Ravel's arrangements made pictures at an exhibition a little more technicolor. And Mussorgsky's themes finally clicked with the public. Movie directors could sort of be considered both the composers and the arrangers of cinema, so it can be intriguing when a world-class talent decides to rethink someone else's work. Steven Soderbergh's snappy take on the crummy Rat Pack comedy Ocean's 11 felt like one-upsmanship. Gus Van Sant's shot-for-shot remake of Hitchcock's Psycho felt like homage. And the Coen brothers putting some actual grit into True Grit felt like a revelation.
This is like women talking. I think she is. You pretty well figured.
True Grit's the real deal, a retread that had more traction than the original, admittedly easier when the first movie is sloppy. But even quality originals can be overshadowed. There was a fine Maltese Falcon a decade before the one starring Humphrey Bogart, and Some Like It Hot reworked a funny German comedy that no one remembers anymore. So keep fingers crossed. The world may not need A Girl with a Dragon Tattoo in English, but audiences could do worse than having Fight Club director David Fincher making a case for it. And Great Gatsby with Leonardo DiCaprio next year? Well, He did pretty good work for director Baz Luhrmann in Romeo and Juliet, also a remake, and Luhrmann's Moulin Rouge, also sort of a remake, was certainly respectable. And Gatsby, remember, was a real believer in the redo.
You can't repeat the past. You can't repeat the past. Of course you can.
Of course you can. I'm Bob Mandela.
And at our website, you're invited to make the case for your favorite remakes. Go to npr.org.
This is All Things Considered from NPR News.